It is the State Capitol Report on the Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Glad you could be here as we touch down in northern Wisconsin to get reaction on the two-year budget and legislation that's gaining traction. You've aligned to Republican State Senator Romaine Quinn of Cameron. The 25th District spans seven counties in the northwestern part of our state, plus parts of Burnett and Sawyer counties. Call in with a question, comment as well, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. State Senator Quinn, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. I'm happy to be back. It's been a while.
It's been a while, indeed. Well, let's start with this $3.6 million in aid for northern Wisconsin counties. Money could be used to offset lower tax collections after this recent federal court ruling on tribal rights. Do you expect the state aid will be enough to help communities?
No, it won't, but it's a good first step. And unfortunately, Kate, it's a pretty complicated issue that I walked into after I was elected. And there's a lot of people that financially are really struggling right now. So just to keep it really quick for your listeners, after that court ruling, I have one particular township that lost 85% of its tax base overnight. So imagine being the 15% left, paying 100% of the bill. And to add salt onto the injury, those that don't have to pay also control the town board. And so your levy, your borrowing, your road maintenance, all those decisions are made by people now that don't even actually contribute to that fund. And so there's a lot of issues beyond even just the money that really need some correction.
How much would taxes potentially increase for non-tribal residents?
Or how much have they already have? I've gotten calls from people that have seen 200 to 300% increases. When I held a listening session up in Ashland, I had an older couple come to me that said my taxes went to $22,000 a year. And he's just a retired professor from Stout. And he said, how am I supposed to hang on to my home or my property with those kind of tax increases? So the numbers really are ridiculous. And we have to make some headway on this or people will lose their homes.
What other negotiations are ongoing for a long-term solution here?
Well, we tried to insert some language into the budget that also got a handle on some of the actual increases, not just the money we set aside to backfill counties who have lost money, but also to try to contain the potential fallout for some of these townships or areas where these people really don't have representation anymore and they're paying all the bill. Unfortunately, the governor struck some of my language out, so we're going to have to go back to the drawing board to make sure that these people are not losing their homes into the future.
And so going back to the drawing board would mean new legislation in the future?
Yes, we are already getting some stuff teed up for the fall.
How do you deal with the concern over a non-tribal resident who theoretically could transfer a portion of their property to a member of a tribe to avoid paying taxes on the whole property? What are your thoughts there?
Well, you can't blame them, right? I mean, if there's an opportunity to be able to stay in your home, I mean, none of this was anyone's fault. No one was alive when they signed the treaty over 100 years ago. So, but we have to fix it today. And you can't blame those people for trying to lower their tax bill. But that is a problem. And that problem, as that grows, only compounds on the issue we have. So stopping that is also going to be part of legislation going forward.
We're talking about the recently signed state budget and legislation that is gaining traction with Republican State Senator Romaine Quinn from northeastern Wisconsin. And you can join in the conversation. Add your question or comment at northwestern Wisconsin. Add your question or comment at 800-642-1234. State Senator Quinn, separate from that issue, let's talk about shared revenue here. Communities across northern Wisconsin and the state are expecting more state aid through shared revenue or the state sharing money from tax collections. How are you expecting this money will affect services in your region?
It's huge. This is going to be a game changer. And I'm glad we went in and made technical fixes to ensure more of that money is plowed down even into our smaller communities that just don't have the tax base to make up the difference. You know, larger communities, they've got great businesses, great corporations, great nonprofits. And a lot of times we don't have those entities to lean on. And so making sure there's a shared revenue package that reflects that, especially for our small townships, is big. Perfect example, my town, back when shared revenue started, was getting $47,000 a year to help with road maintenance, snow plowing, ditch mowing, all that good stuff. And today they're getting $36,000. And so obviously costs have not gone down, but their share of that money has gone down. And under our plan that we passed and signed in the budget, they're going to get another $40,000, more than doubling what they have today, that will go directly back into, again, maintenance, infrastructure, prolonging equipment, all those things that we expect our local governments to do.
The budget plan provides schools an additional $325 per student annually for the next 2 years. How do you expect more funding will affect schools in your region?
Well, northern Wisconsin is pretty unique. I always say it's the best area of the state. I'm a little biased, but our districts tend to be very rural, very sparse, poor, but very property rich. And so just because someone may own some land or we have a lot of lakes in our area, that's not an indication of our actual wealth or ability to pay. But unfortunately, our districts have been locked into revenue limits that are very low, and they also get very little state aid. So I'm not so much concerned about the $325 per pupil, but for us to be able to raise that revenue limit floor from $10,000 per pupil to $11,000 really is a game changer for many, many districts, from Superior to Ashland, Drummond, Spooner, Turtle Lake, Cameron. I think I have like half of the districts in the state that were low frugal spenders for years and years. So this budget is going to be a huge shot in the arm for those districts that were struggling to compete with their neighbors or those across the state who are spending much, much more per pupil.
What about the struggles to ensure that there are enough teachers in the district? Has that been a concern? And will this be helpful for that issue?
Oh, it absolutely will. If I'm spending $10,000 per pupil, like let's say that take the district of Superior, and then they have to compete with Duluth. Now, how am I supposed to pay a wage that's even remotely close to a teacher in Duluth when I'm actually one of the lowest spending school districts in the entire state of Wisconsin? So this will absolutely impact that. And, of course, there's so many other issues that go into that. And I know we're going to talk about housing. And if we don't have places for our teachers to move to our district and live, we're never going to get them. So that's an important issue we worked on as well.
We're going to just put a pin there in housing, get to it in just a bit. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says Republicans plan to sue Governor Evers over his partial veto to extend public school funding increases for 400 years. What do you make of the governor's veto?
So I think the governor should absolutely have a right to weigh in using his veto pen. And if there are policy decisions he disagrees with, you know, he should be able to remove those, just like the legislature does. But to take something and totally circumvent legislative intent, that's where I've got a problem. You know, we could talk about how we fund schools or into the future, but to take a little quirk like that and strike out a hyphen and create intent that was never there, I don't think that's positive. And so I don't think any governor should be able to unilaterally do that.
So it sounds like you do support litigation?
Yeah, I'm not going to hold my breath for what the courts decide to do or not to do, but I've gotten a lot of calls from constituents that want to look at us constitutionally, what the governor can or can't do going forward.
Romaine Quinn is a Republican state senator representing the 25th District counties in northwestern Wisconsin. You can join in the politics discussion, asking a question, sharing your comment. The number to call in, 800-642-1234. It's the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the State Capitol Report on the Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We hear reaction from northern Wisconsin on the newly enacted two-year state budget and legislation in the works for items that didn't make it into the spending plan affecting residents in the Northwoods. You can call in with a question, share a comment on state politics. The number to join in, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We have Republican State Senator Romaine Quinn with us from a district in northwestern Wisconsin. Let's turn to fish hatcheries. Joint Finance Committee approved your proposals to renovate and build new buildings at the Les Voigt State Fish Hatchery and Brule State Fish Hatchery. Governor Evers issued vetoes to remove funding specifically for these projects. What is your reaction to these vetoes?
Yeah, I'm not happy. I'll leave it at that. But it's really unfortunate. It's very hard, Kate, to get legislators in Madison to care about anything north of Highway 29 in Wisconsin. And so when Representative Sapik, who's brand new, Representative Green, who's brand new, and myself, we toured these hatcheries, found out they were in disrepair. Les Voigt is operating at 30% capacity. We have a hatchery operating at 30% capacity because we're not making infrastructure upgrades to get it back to 100%. So we said, let's set some money aside and do that. And to have that specifically line itemed out really felt like a poke in the eye.
How will you advocate for future funding? What is the trajectory now for these hatcheries?
Well, I know there's conversation on the Brule hatchery. There always has been about potentially closing that hatchery. I don't want to see that closed. And then Les Voigt, actually, I just had a call with the department after the veto to talk about the future of both facilities. And so we definitely need some investment to make sure. I know we need overall investment. I get what the governor's saying is that, you know, every hatchery needs money or every park needs money. He vetoed our park money up north, too. But that doesn't mean you don't invest when you have an opportunity. And so we're definitely going to have to do some calculations and sit down and say, how can we get some of those funds going forward to breathe some life back into these facilities that really are the backbone of our outdoor recreation and our fisheries.
You mentioned parks. How is infrastructure at state parks in northern Wisconsin, specifically Pattison and Amnican Falls?
Yeah, so there's been some neglect, no doubt about it. I think there's always more we can invest in our public parks, and that's what I try to pitch to my colleagues, too. We're not asking for monies for private pet projects. These are state-owned parks, state-owned facilities that millions of people use every single year that drive tourism dollars and revenue back into our coffers. And so working with Representative Sapik again, we secured $2.1 million to do some much-needed upgrades at both Pattison and Amnicon. And when the governor came to Superior, he even told the Superior Telegram on video, yes, I support these projects, and then still line item vetoed them out. So, again, more than frustrating. we're going to contact the governor's office. I haven't had a chance yet to walk through why, you know, after he told us yes, and then figure out how to bring that funding back through the legislature, again, to hopefully give us another shot at that money.
What is needed at these specific state parks?
Oh, everything could use a touch-up. It's railings, it's roofs on buildings, it's stairways down to enjoy some of these areas. There's a whole list of deferred maintenance that, and I'm guessing at a lot of our state parks, not just those in northern Wisconsin, but again, those are the ones that we represent and we wanted to focus on.
And that's, you know, that gets into priorities. How do you prioritize when there are so many state parks that desperately need funding upgrades? There has to be some type of priority there. And, you know, what is your reaction to that?
Well, and I think everything has a strategic plan. Every project is laid out at some point. But we do this all the time, whether it's roads or other infrastructure. There's certain things where needs come up, and we move those up the schedule. So that's not unheard of. And so, again, the governor said, yes, we want more money for all of our parks. But when you specifically tell us in our own district and look at us in the face and say, I support these projects, and then do a 180, I just don't think that's right.
Let's turn to housing now. You chair the State Senate's Housing Committee. What issues are you hoping the committee tackles this year?
So we actually already did a ton of heavy lifting on this, working with every entity from the League of Municipalities, the Towns Association, counties, the Builders Association, Realtors Association, coming up with a number of bills to try to get at the root causes of why housing is not affordable and why we're not building them anymore. So, Kate, since the last Great Recession, we have not been building roughly 10,000 single-family homes per year that we used to. And our workforce is aging. I know up in my district, all the contractors I know, they're not spring chickens anymore. And there aren't the youth coming back through to take over those businesses either. So we have come to a perfect storm of high demand, low inventory, not enough workers to crank out the product we need, and it's causing prices to skyrocket, and it's pricing, I would argue, an entire generation out of home ownership, and that is an issue we must address, and we have been this session already.
What stands out to you in addressing that issue of affordable housing? What is being done legislatively?
So we actually passed five different bills that aim at a whole number of different issues. So for starters, Wisconsin has some of the oldest housing stock in the country. And so 57% of our housing stock was built before the 80s, and 43% was built before the 60s. And so to fix any problem, you got to stop the bleed. So one of our bills actually gives a zero interest loans for people to rehab their homes because we want to keep the stock we have today. And then we look going forward, how do we expand more units? So we look, for instance, at our downtowns. How many downtown main streets can you walk down and look up and see second story, third story apartments that are dilapidated, they're used for storage, or they're abandoned, that could be an affordable housing option for those that want to live downtown and maybe not raise a family, but to have that option. So we have a bill for that, zero to low interest loans to get developers to get up into those spaces and open those back up for people. We also did an infrastructure bill. That was mine in particular out of the package, trying to finance the cost of infrastructure. That usually is the culprit in a lot of this. When you have to spend $50,000 to $70,000 per lot just to stub in the utilities, the curb, sewer, sidewalk, gutter, before you even get a shovel in the ground for the house, how is that ever going to be affordable? It won't be. And so we wanted to address that too. So there's a, like I said, a whole package of bills that I could talk for hours on. I'm a realtor in my other life, on how to get at that root cost. Since 2020, the cost of single family home production has gone up 36% in the state. And that is something that most people just can't eat.
Hmm. I'm going to reintroduce you here for a moment as we talk about the state budget with Republican State Senator Romaine Quinn. You can join in with your questions, your comments at 800-642-1234. Turning to abortion, at the end of May, you introduced a package of abortion-related bills to clarify how doctors can provide medical care to pregnant women after the state's abortion ban went into effect. What needs to be clarified in state law?
So when I was on the campaign trail, I knocked on about 31,000 doors, and I did hear a lot of concern on the doors about, you know, what is the law today, what can or can't I do, and what medical care can I or can't I receive with the ban now in effect. And so our current statutes already allow exemptions or exceptions. I wouldn't call it an exception, but it allows for a mother to receive medical treatment if her life is being threatened. Now, there's enough ambiguity in the law, and I think there was some created by those intentionally on the political side of things to look at this to say we have to address it. So we wanted to make it crystal clear that physicians, doctors, and mothers and families know that if their life is being threatened due to pregnancy through no fault of their own, they can get the medical care that they need to make sure that they'll be okay. But the difference is we also want to do what we can to save the life of the child. And so we want to clarify that an abortion it's not an abortion if it's the unintentional ending of a human life, if it's the unintentional ending of a pregnancy because I needed to get the medical care that my doctor says I need. So we wanted to make sure we clarify that for both physicians and for families across the state.
Do you find that Republicans would be on board with your legislation?
Well, I'm very pragmatic, and so I wanted something that can pass. So I didn't dive into the other exceptions or other timelines for when a baby is a baby or not. We just wanted to say, let's take this off the table. Let's make it very clear that if a woman is diagnosed with an ectopic pregnancy that we know 100% can't be carried to term, there's no reason she shouldn't be able to get that care. And so I think that's something we can all come together on and take those situations off the table.
Let's bring in Jane in Suamico. Jane, hi.
Yes, I wanted to approach the representative about the fact that Governor Evers proposed a budget. The Republican Party in the legislature abandoned that budget and started their own budget. And now he's upset about Governor Evers' line item, using his line item veto to take things out. And there's a $7 billion surplus. Why can't that be used for one-time upgrades on fish hatcheries and state parks and the like?
Jane, thank you. Your reaction, State Senator Quinn.
Yeah, I agree. We should use those monies to do that. So I don't know why he's vetoing the money out. If you look at the governor's original proposal, and you can say the Republicans threw it out, but I'm glad we did because it would have left us almost a $4 billion structural deficit heading into the following 2 years. So we can invest in our priorities. We did that with our schools, our infrastructure. We actually put more money in infrastructure and borrowed less than the governor proposed and still had money left over to try to cut your taxes, which also got vetoed. So again, there's going to be back and forth. There's always going to be compromise or disagreements. But like she mentioned, a $7 billion surplus, and the governor wanted to spend billions more than we did, yet he still had to go up north and zero out a couple million bucks for specific needed projects, I think is rather absurd.
State Senator Quinn, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate the opportunity.
Romaine Quinn, Republican state senator representing the 25th District, first elected to the Assembly in 2014, assumed a Senate seat in January. It's the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.